Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, March the 4th in 2024 on When I Rise. Till we begin year B, fourth Sunday in Lent, and on the Monday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And they traveled from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea road to go around the land of Edom. And the people's soul was getting short on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why did you bring us up out from Egypt to die in the wilderness? Because there's no bread and there's no water, and our soul is disgusted with the cursed bread. And Yahweh let fiery snakes go among the people, and they bit the people, and a great many people from Israel died. And the people came to Moses, and they said, "We've sinned because we spoke against Yahweh and against you. Pray to Yahweh that he will turn the snake away from us." And Moses prayed on behalf of the people. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Make a fiery one and set it on a pole, and it will be that people who have been bitten and sees it will live." And Moses made a bronze snake and set it on a pole. And it was, if a snake bit a man, then he would look at the bronze snake and live. This is the word of God for us. Yeah, so this is kind of a crazy story, and we might wonder, like, why is this here in the Revised Common Lectionary? Like, why dwell on this story? And it does seem that the lectionary works its way back from the Gospels. If you go to a liturgical community, there's a good chance that if an Old and New Testament and Gospel passage is read, that the Gospel is read from a higher ground. And there are probably times where people will stand for the reading of the Gospel because it's the story of Jesus. At times, it's the words of Jesus. And so it needs to be elevated among the reading of Scripture, which is really kind of an endearing thing. It goes to show us that the Bible is not flat like a constitution, but it does have some topography to it. It does have some highest of heights and some lowest of lows. So it's not that the low places aren't important. It's all the Scripture. It's all making the people of God. But there's something about the Gospels which is the richest, and particularly those of us who want to follow Jesus, like be Christian, then it is the stories and the words of Jesus that shape us the most. This is something that we just kind of acknowledge. So I think as we get to Friday, you'll see that this reference comes back into play as Jesus is reasoning with Nicodemus. So we'll kind of leave that conversation for Friday. But that's why it probably lands here in this week of readings. So what's going on here? The people of God grumble against Moses and God several times during the wilderness campaign. And at times there's consequences, and other times there's just simply provision. Here we've got both consequences and provision at the same time. And so this is obviously an old story, and it's an unfortunate thing that many lives were lost because of this complaining episode against Yahweh. We don't know why God chose to have this be the response. But the thing I think we need to cherish the most is how there's a provision that God also provides in the midst of the punishment. God is not some Neanderthal deity just lashing out and losing his temper and without reason or rationale doing these things. But God is a God who does judge, a God who does make decisive decisions, but ultimately is a God of redemption and a God who provides, particularly provides salvation and rescue in the midst of human plight. And so Moses is told to take one of these fiery snakes, these fiery ones, and to put on a pole. And this pole was, I guess, always raised in the midst of the community so that after the initial wave of snake bites and deaths, that if anybody gets bitten by a snake, that they could look up and they could find their redemption. They'd be spared from all their plight. And I just love this image. This image is, God providing a means, but also people needing to take matters into their own hands and to respond. I think it's important because sometimes if religion is not careful, religion can create codependency. We can give people a narrative or like a feedback loop in their brains that they're broken people, that they're always going to be broken, and they can't expect to ever progress from their brokenness. And I think that's who religion is on our worst days. Like, to give people a bag full of anxieties and guilt that just simply weighs them down, and they never get any sort of clearing or growth or strength along the way, that they're always going to be broken and therefore always going to be in need of God. I think the best version of Christianity is, yes, God meets us where we're at, but he also transforms us, and we're strengthened, and we grow and we mature. We grow in grace, as the New Testament will tell us, so that we're not left where God found us, but we actually progress into this place where we can be strengthened and nourished and encouraged to be different people, to be redeemed people, those who ascend upon the heights. And so what we see in the Christian message is, yes, God rescues us. It's not by works that we can boast about salvation. But if you keep on reading in Ephesians, and we're going to later this week, we'll note that works aren't all bad, because Ephesians 2:10 will tell us that we are a handy work of God, and God has created good works for us to do. Isn't that great? So yes, works can't earn our salvation, but they certainly facet and they certainly affirm our salvation, because we have a new power to draw from, to be those people who are a good work, who do good works to the ends of the earth. So I think I'm already kind of doing, I'm taking care of stuff that I'm going to talk about by the end of the week on Thursday, Ephesians chapter 2. And on Friday, John chapter 3. And so we can just cut it off here. But I wanted to at least acknowledge these two pieces of this story, which is God is providing, but people have to take responsibility to look up and to embrace the rescue that has been telegraphed, that they could embrace for their own spiritual and faith and healthy journeys. And so I think it's the same for us too, that yes, Jesus is our Savior and he does rescue us. And I think we also have to, according to like a place like 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we perfect holiness out of reverence for God. So there is like this sense where God is providing, but we're also providing. Like, there's like this two-sided message for us in our Christian growth. Yes, we rely upon God's power and grace, but that grace also is something that takes over our lives, and we begin to enact a new way of living. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 to put off the old self and to put on the new self. It's something that, some action that we're doing ourselves. So it's a two-sided coin. Yes, God provides out ahead of us what John Wesley called prevenient grace, but we also learn how to walk out our own faith as we grow in maturity in Jesus Christ. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the message of grace, this story that tells us that, God, you moved ahead of us and on our behalf to rescue us and to make us your people. And so we think that message not only warms our heart at one moment early in our faith journey, but it continues to take over our lives to where we begin to adjust what we value. We begin to reorder our loves so that we live differently. And we think of that in a mystery that involves your work and our work. And so we confess to you once again, God, that we have fallen short. We need your help. And so we pray for more grace today. But we also think that grace would transform us, that it would empower us to be the people of God. You're a unique people who are eager to do what is good. So we pray that a great eagerness would wash over our lives, it would stoke our imagination, and that we'd be the people of God today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.